Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Dunkin' Cold Coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' Cold K-Cup Pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Hey friends, thanks for joining us for another episode of That's Awesome. Just a quick note, the first part of this episode, we talk about challenges of new normal, getting back out on the road, and keeping our sense of humor when we're faced with moments that make us angry or frustrated. But later in the episode, we talk about GH, and we talk about storylines that are upcoming. And so if you want to skip the first part and just hear about GH and not about our issues as humans, jump to about the 42-minute mark. But otherwise, thanks for being here and enjoy.
That's awesome. Awesome.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Awesome.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
That's
awesome.
Really awesome.
Awesome.
That's, so
that's awesome.
Awesome.
Oh, awesome. That's
awesome.
With Stephen Bradford. Stevie B.
Yo, buddy, what is the word today?
How are you, man?
Oh, you know, it's tour month.
It is tour month.
So we have a lot going on.
Tour month.
Unfortunately, that can be true, but it's all good. You know, perspective wise, we get to go back on the road and everyone's kind of dealing with what they're dealing with, but it sure can be frustrating at times. I just want to say I appreciate you going through this with me, us together,
yeah, dude,
as a team, because we sure do. We sure do.
You know, we got so used to not needing anybody else this year.
Correct.
Right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And that's actually something I want to talk about. But we get so used to just being able to do everything ourselves. And then, of course, we added on to that list throughout the year. And then we had to delegate a little bit, but it was always something that we could always accomplish what we needed to do with just us.
Absolutely.
And, you know, when you get back into the touring world, that's impossible because we don't own all the clubs. We don't manage all the clubs.
Oh,
we don't own all the affiliate stations in the country. We don't manage all the affiliate stations in the country.
We don't own Facebook.
We don't own Facebook.
We don't know their algorithms and how they change everything every day.
Right.
It's crazy. Like it's, you know, it's not easy doing business. That's why people don't do it.
That's an interesting, that totally makes sense to me. And I can imagine if you are starting a small business or if you have a small business that has weathered over time, or you know, that has been going for a long time while things are changing around you and systems are changing around you.
Yeah.
And it is a daily deluge of like moguls that you have to jump over or navigate.
Let me rephrase that. It's easier today than ever to start a business.
Oh, that's true.
Right. So
yeah.
It's pretty easy to start a business, but there's a lot of moving pieces. People who own their own businesses know this. And I honestly, dealing with these clubs, I would, if you run your own business, try to step out of your business and take a bird's eye view of what's going on in your business and see if there's any areas that are lacking that could improve sales or just improve continuity or fluidity of your business. Because like, I can't tell you how much money these clubs are leaving on the table. I mean, it is just, I can't even believe it with their broken, antiquated systems. A lot of times and their websites, they are just leaving so much on the table. And, you know, they've all been corporatized essentially. So, you know, they're not looking at every penny. They're just like, let's open a 50 more.
Right.
Well, how about we run the three that are open like a rock star and then we open one more?
Well, so, and if not now, when? Because, you know, they had a whole year.
If not.
You know what I'm saying?
Stop. Please. We can't go down this road. I'm not today. I'm fired up, brother.
I know you are, buddy.
You know that. So let's not open that can of worms.
If you were going to take a hard look at your business, especially in live events, when not, but 2020.
Stop.
And like, okay, hey guys, well, we're on a pause here. We can't work. So let's maybe look inward and think about what we're doing. And obviously we're going to have to think about how to do things going forward in a different way while we also have the time.
Yeah.
Why don't we try to optimize what we're doing anyway?
Well, our website's from 25 years ago and we still have improv@AOL.com email. Maybe we should take a look at this, but no, there's some new shows on Netflix and I love ice cream. So we're not going to do that. We're just going to watch Netflix for a year straight and not do anything.
Oh man. All right.
But that's it, dude. Like you know, everyone had this, the option to go, hey, I got to make the best of this, or I'm just going to sit here and make the worst of it. And you know, it's always a choice. So
yeah. Yeah.
It's just frustrating, dude. That's why we do our own stuff. That's why I run my own stuff. That's why there's not a lot of people who I trust to work with, who I know is doing the exact same thing or more that I'm doing at any given time. And it's just really difficult to find those people.
Well, and also
clubs have a hard time finding people to manage to all these people, you know? So
right.
People don't want to work anymore. Sorry. Sorry.
Yeah. People's work ethic is definitely taking a hit. And, but you know what I appreciate you about, one of the many things I appreciate about you, but is also, I know sometimes a challenge for you is that it is when you are working your butt off, not only is it frustrating when someone isn't matching you, but it almost feels like not a slight, but you almost take it personally. You almost take it like, and that's a challenge, but yes. But it makes you want to surround yourself with people that work like you do. So ultimately you hopefully get to a situation where, you know,
so if, you know, like I've struggled with anger for a long time, anger issues. I've calmed it down. I try not to go down that road because that's not a fun road for me. You know, and I'm trying to grow daily. Most people who listen to the podcast or are on Patreon with us know this. I'm trying. I'm not perfect by any standards, but I'm trying to continually work on weaknesses in my personality, you know. And I was thinking after I talked to you last night and Linda last night and you today and Linda today, and I go, you know, because it's easy to feel disrespected.
Yes.
Right. Like. And why I say that is because we're spending money to promote our shows in all types of arenas.
Yes.
Facebook, Google, local commercials. We spend money to bring business into a club.
Right. And for you guys, the advertising model has changed in years past. Sure. It wasn't always that way. But now since artists have social media, artists have a better methods to promote their stuff than the clubs do sometimes. And so the model has shifted. Now it's kind of on the artist to promote their show and the clubs kind of sit back a little bit.
Yes. So exactly.
Some do, not all.
Some, not all. But the point is it's up to us to sell tickets, right?
Yeah.
If we don't sell the show out, the show doesn't get sold out and we don't go on a show. That's it.
And maybe they don't call us again.
Right. So I feel, you know, you could, it's easy to feel disrespected because we're spending money, we're doing all this stuff. And I go, they don't respect their own business.
Mm.
Like, how can I feel disrespected by someone who doesn't respect themselves?
Right. And then also, right.
So that's kind of how I broke it down. I'm like, wait a minute, they don't really respect their business enough to run it. So, you know, why am I feeling disrespected? I don't need that. I don't need that. I'm just not going to do business like this anymore. It's sure. fine.
Well, the thing is, it's not personal to you. It's the way they would do it with anybody. Right.
And absolutely.
That doesn't make it less frustrating in the moment.
No,
but
it's frustrating. I know. I just don't want to go down that place.
You know, this has but come
be,
up a lot
to,
for
but to be honest, my wife likes when I get a little angry. Go oh, ahead. Man. Anyway, what?
My wife does too. My wife likes when I have a strong point of view.
Yeah, well, you know, and especially it's whatever.
But,
but
the thing that I that has served me over my life, but has made certainly my wife a little frustrated with me, and also like I can't not think this way, and so I'm curious to talk to you about it. Like,
interesting, yeah.
When someone does something that is unequivocally like, you know, bad for someone else or bad for themselves, like I rarely take it personally. If someone does something that someone says to me, oh wow, they really slighted you, or they really I rarely get mad at the person because I just end up feeling pity for them or sad. Like, I like, it's very easy for me not to take something personally, and I'm not sure if that's a defense mechanism or if that is actual, like, you know, I am certainly rationalizing a lot of things, but but boy, has it helped me not get angry about things that that I can't change. Number one, I try not to get angry about things that I can't change.
Yeah.
And I try not to get angry about other people's like ineptitude or other people's things that I would look at them and go, oh, they have an issue. Other people's issues. Like, I don't take other people's issues personally because they're not my issues. Sometimes they affect me.
Yeah. I mean, definitely that's a lot to unpack because
it is. But some people would say that that's me just not, I need to be more sensitive. Like, if things aren't affecting you, really, they should affect you. But other people's issues don't really affect me. If they get in front of me in a way, and you've seen this, if someone's ineptitude on the road hampers our show or whatever, like, and, you know, if I'm trying to solve a problem in the immediacy, like an actual tactical problem,
of course,
I can get frustrated and other people, like, for some reason, I don't get upset about other, when other people do. It's easy for me not, that's not a place that anger comes from within me. And that helps me a lot, but I'm not sure if I should be more angry and maybe that would make me sexier.
I think there's a few things, honestly. I think maybe you don't really like confrontation.
That is true.
Right. So yeah. I think some of those decisions that you're making are based on, I'm not a big confrontation guy.
Right.
Right. So you're just going, hey, it doesn't matter. It's your problem. It's not my problem. Right.
Yeah. I think that.
It could stem from that. And this, then the behavior is, hey, it's not my problem. It's your problem. But I already know you though. I know you well enough that you do feel bad for people who are lashing out, because usually there's something, if someone's lashing out or hating on you or doing that, they're not happy in their own lives.
Right. And it's so clear to me. Like, it's not so clear.
Right.
I never have to be like, why are they acting like that? It's like, right.
It's very clear.
Well, that's a you issue.
You know? So, you know, I think there's a happy medium. I think it's finding that line of having compassion for someone.
Yeah.
But also standing up for the situation. Because just because the situation you feel wronged, or your wife might feel wrong, or whoever, doesn't mean that you can't say something.
Right.
In a non-threatening, angry way, say, hey, man, that wasn't cool. I don't appreciate you saying that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You know what I mean? So it's like,
I have spoken. Thank you.
I've spoken. Yes. But I think there's a happy medium, right? Like,
right.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. It's like, this is always the reflection that I'm trying to just to work on being slower to anger, which I'm better than I was for sure.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to work on it and give people grace and compassion because I need it too. We all need it. We all need grace. We all need, hey, you having a bad day. Hey man, I get it. I get it. Right. But I guess the difference is when it affects you personally. And it's not, dude, I don't care if someone yells at me and says something stupid. That stuff doesn't affect me.
Right.
Like, I don't care. But if it affects what we're doing, like our business, and we're working super hard, you and I with full-time jobs, families, kids, going on the road, doing all the stuff that we're doing. And, you know, you can't just do what you said you're going to do. Like,
just do that. At least
just do that. Just go, hey, I'm going to do this and then do it. It's not that hard. Right. So, you know, we're not going to say what club it was. We're not going to say what happened, you know, but, you know, there's frustrating things that happen when we're getting ready to go on the road. But you know what, dude, it's all lessons for me right now. I'm just in this place where I'm just, you know, just trying to be better.
Well, it also occurred to me, you know, our schedule's full again. Like we have, you know, obviously the country, the country is still dealing with the virus and like that is still a reality, but our schedule, our shooting schedule, our touring schedule, like the changes that occurred in 2020, we are back in kind of we're doing everything we did before then, before 2020. And so it occurred to me, like, now that we are back full bore, we probably learned some lessons from 2020 that at the moment we're like, let's remember this.
Sure. Yeah.
And now, you know, it made me think, like, now that we're kind of, you know, back at full throttle, what are the lessons from 2020 that maybe we learned that we need to kind of maybe remind ourselves of, whether that's in our work life or our, mm-hmm. or our home life. Because I remember at the beginning of the lockdown, especially like when all the time spent with family, all that stuff. And everyone was like, yeah, no, I need to find a better work-life balance. I need to find a better, we're getting to the place now where normalcy is not that far away. And that striving, that thirst for normalcy or that thirst for what was, you know, obviously is maybe is such a pull as well, that push and pull between being thrilled about getting back to normal, but also trying to retain some of the things that we learned about in 2020, that's going to be an interesting push and pull. And I wonder how much, you know, how much we all will really retain versus how much we'll just be so thrilled to start sprinting again.
Yes. That's a very good point. And I mean, obviously with you and I, we're at places where you're like, hey man, let's just not do a tour that 1 week.
Yeah.
You know, and we're like, okay, cool. All good. Right.
Right.
So, but you're right. It's things are, I mean, the thing that saves me is just my structure and discipline. That's what saves me right now. And I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot. And for the time that I had off for the pandemic, I'm grateful for that time because I really had a lot of time to look at myself, my marriage, other relationships, what I'm doing in life, why I'm doing it, and all these things.
Yeah.
And it definitely made that time period made my life so much better that now I feel equipped to deal with what you're talking about.
Sure.
Because I put things in place to feel like, oh, this is my routine.
Right.
This is what I'm doing. I can get this all done, not feel stressed out. I mean, dude, this week I have more shows than I've ever had in my entire life.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I have 50 pages a day. I'm here all day from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. I'm not complaining. I'm just trying to give a little insight to people.
Listening. Yeah.
Like, this is one of the biggest weeks I've ever had in my career here as far as workload.
Right.
Last night I finished at 8, drove an hour home, ate dinner, spent time with the wife and kids, got up at 4:30, went to the gym at 5, drove to work here, got here at 7:15, and now I'm here all day until the end of the day, until 8, right? And I have 50-something pages today, which is fine. I love it. It's great. But normally, I would say that I would be getting a little bit stressed.
A little squirrely.
A little squirrely. I'm like, wait a minute, it's only Tuesday? But I feel like the things that I'm doing in my personal life in the morning, taking care of my morning, the working out, the nutrition, all these things, I feel amazing. Like,
yeah,
I feel fantastic. And that stuff definitely contributes to it. The things we put in place during the pandemic, you know, my great relationship with my wife and my kids and you and my friends. I mean, it's just like things feel like they're firing in all cylinders.
Right.
And it takes work to do that. Like,
yeah.
Nothing's giving. You have to earn things, you know, and it's like, and I'm earning this feeling of feeling great. Like, I feel fantastic, you know, and I'm like, wait, why do I feel so great in the heaviest week of my life and I haven't even started memorizing our tour stuff. And that's a whole nother thing on my plate.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's, you know, it can get overwhelming, but I feel good right now.
Yeah. Well, you feel equipped, and that is the,
I feel equipped.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
Thinking about the kind of the ebb and flow of how the last year went, gosh, it was super easy to, like, in the first few months to kind of, you start to develop new habits because you're not leaving the house and you're spending this family time. Right. And then as the year goes on and it becomes a year, then, like, you're in kind of like, well, these aren't new habits because they're about to change. And then you start building bad habits and then you're like, oh, well, the bad habits are okay because this isn't forever.
Right.
Do you know? So like the good lessons of the beginning kind of maybe faded into some, this, I'm just thinking, you know, for what we went through and what I've seen for others and whatever. And now as you're starting to speed up again, gosh, it's hard to remember the clear lessons of those first couple months. Mm-hmm. And I was reading about, you know, meals, family meals, and you know, not being sidetracked at meals with whatever, whether it's work or kids wanting to read a book or bring a screen
or whatever
it is.
Yeah.
Just keep distilling the lessons from 2020. It might not be as easy as I thought, is all I'm saying. Like,
right.
But it is about routine.
Yeah.
And the routine is changing all the time for a lot of people because some routines are coming back. Some routines are never going to be the same.
Right.
So it's an interesting transition back to normalcy, because normalcy might look exactly the same for some people, might look different for other people. A lot of people's kids aren't back in school yet. Whatever new normal is, boy, it's hard to, it's an interesting challenge.
It is a challenge, for sure. It's a challenge.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. But you said new routines. You got to figure out. People have to figure out what their routine is, their personal routine that sets them up for success every day. That's the mystery. That's the missing link. Is like, if you figure that out, all the other stuff falls into place. If you do that work, all that falls into place.
Yeah.
And you know, and that's not an easy thing to do. It really isn't. It takes a lot of work and a lot of sacrifice, but I feel that through pain, that type of pain, that type of sacrifice, there's growth.
Yeah.
Because in anything in our life, usually if it's a tragedy, if it's COVID, if it's whatever, it forces you to grow one way or the other.
Yes.
You're either going to take a left turn and start making bad habits and, you know, have regrets.
Why does that have to be left? I'm left-handed. Why does left have to be the bad choice?
Dude, whatever. You're going to go down one road, you know, and it's going to be regret and guilt and all these things that eat at you every day that are hard to shake. you know, or you can go, hey, I'm going to do this now. I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to, whatever you're, whatever works for you to be, you know, every day to be a positive, in a positive mindset, you know, and we talk about it a lot on Patreon, but you know, that's really been the key for me, is that there's things that are non-negotiable for me every day.
Yeah.
I do not miss now.
I can't. How do you negotiate? How do you negotiate that with sleep? Because I know you were up late last night because we were texting and then you're up at 4:30. Like that, that would, I feel like that, because I, you know, I'm thinking about getting up earlier because I want to get more. I want to have some things done before the house is up.
Sure.
You know, because otherwise I like my exercise routine is, I get it done, but it's in different parts of the day. Yeah, and then it certainly makes it harder to get our stuff done because everything is segmented, and and people have accused me, that sounds weird, of being ADHD. I'm not sure.
I don't think you are.
But
I don't think you are.
It helps me to be.
Because if you had one thing to focus on, you'd get it done.
Deadlines do that for me.
Well, I'm just saying, if you had one thing to focus on per day,
you
would get it done.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like you'd be like, oh, what else should I do instead of this? That's not you.
No. I mean, if I knew I had a whole day to get it done, then maybe I'd, like, when I made my second cup of coffee, I'd, like, you know, meander a bit. I tend to meander a bit, but.
I just think, you know, look, I know people have ADHD, but a lot of times it's stuff people aren't even interested in doing.
Sure.
Like, you know, but you have so many things on your plate that, your schedule is different every day.
Right.
So, you know, for me, you know, I'm a big sleep guy.
Yes. I know you are
100% in a nice 7-8 hours at night. So I'm going to have to push my bedtime earlier, and my schedule changes every day. Sometimes I have a 7 a.m. call. Sometimes I have a noon call. So, but I still have to get up to take the kids to school or whatever on those days. But I feel that I felt so great after I walked out of the gym at whatever, 6:15, 6:30, that I'm like, man, this is, no one's up. It was amazing. Right. Yeah. And that energized me. I'm like, hey, you got up and you did it. It was non-negotiable. You didn't hit the snooze button, you know, 3 times. You got up and you went to the freaking gym at 5 a.m.
Great.
Good for you.
Good for you. Well done, Steve.
Now what's next? That's good.
No, can't.
I'm good. We always talk about victories and having little victories every day. That's a victory.
Yeah.
Right. And I feel good. I came to work. We're doing a podcast. I feel good about accomplishing this today.
Today's episode of That's Awesome is brought to you by Magic Spoon.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so this week was Finola's 7th birthday, and instead of a birthday cake, I got her Magic Spoon because they have birthday cake
birthday
flavor.
Cake. No, no. We got birthday cake flavored Magic Spoon cereal.
That's
it's
right.
Amazing.
Amazing. So, gosh, I mean, you know, sweet cereals was certainly one of the best parts of being a kid. Right?
Oh, the best.
Like, I mean, it brings up all the feels, not just brings up, you know, not just the joy of eating something delicious, but boy, it kind of transports you back to those days.
Sure,
right?
Does.
But then as you get older, you think those days are done and you can't enjoy that kind of stuff anymore. But you probably shouldn't eat those things anymore.
Well, yeah, that, and I haven't enjoyed actually sitting down. I mean, like you said, it was a staple growing up, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, it was my whole childhood and sometimes dinner. So,
right.
But like, I haven't sat down to a bowl of cereal where I'm like, this is amazing until the last year.
Right. Absolutely.
With Magic Spoon. And I sit there and I enjoy it just like I did when I was a kid. And it's amazing.
Dude, I can't tell you the joy I feel when I'm working out. I had a nice workout in the morning and I'm looking for a snack and I realize, oh, I have Magic Spoon.
Great
snack. Oh my gosh. It just delights me to no end.
Yeah.
Magic Spoon has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. That's only 140 calories a serving. Keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. And boy, this exciting news. Magic Spoon has released a super delicious new flavor, birthday cake. Magic's birthday cake Magic Spoon will be available in a special 5-pack
for
a limited time only. So get it while you can.
Or you can build your own box. Available flavors to build your very own custom bundle are cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, cinnamon, and now birthday cake.
Woo!
And if you're listening, if you're listening from Canada, Magic Spoon now ships there as well. So we love you, Canada.
We sure do. So it is. It will fit into whatever lifestyle you have right now. It's great any time of day. Or night.
I love it with milk, almond milk, obviously, but it's great for kids' snack. Just throw it in his little Ziploc and take it.
Yes.
Right.
Like yeah.
Instead of the standard Cheerios, how about we do Magic Spoon?
That's right. So go to magicspoon.com/thatsawesome, all one word, to grab the new limited edition birthday cake or a custom bundle of cereal to try it today. And be sure to use our promo code thatsawesome, THTSAWESOME, at checkout to save $5 off your order. The offer is now good anywhere in the US or Canada, but only when you use our code at checkout. And Steve, listen to this guarantee. Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, which you won't, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Come on. So get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/thatsawesome and use our code thatsawesome to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. Well, you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy.
It's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around your home. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
You know what's interesting? And I hadn't thought about this in a long time. When I was in high school, junior high, maybe even, back when I was still in my athletic career.
Yeah, buddy.
3 days a week or 2 days a week, my dad and I would get up early before school.
I love that.
Drive 40 minutes to the tennis club.
I love that.
And do tennis drills. Or
I love that.
But earlier, when I was younger, it was basketball drills.
Love that.
And then my treat would get, I'd get a breakfast burrito at McDonald's on the way back. And,
don't love that.
Well, but this was 1990.
Trust me, I ate more Filet-O-Fish than you do now back then.
I loved that time with my dad, and it didn't occur to me how it may have affected the rest of my day though. As a kid.
Because
high school was not necessarily a huge challenge for me in terms of getting the grades that I wanted to get.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I just wonder how that affected my day as a high schooler or even a junior high schooler. It was probably like 8th grade to 10th grade was the days that we really worked, the years that we really did that.
Well, that's laying like a subconscious foundation though, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That you won't see the dividends now, you see them later.
I guess. Yeah, maybe.
You know, like with Jack, you know, he's in sports or whatever, but I'm trying to get him into an exercise routine that's pretty easy.
Yeah.
That he just does every day so he can start feeling good, right?
Right, yeah.
He does 50 burpees, 50 push-ups, 50 body weight squats, and 50 sit-ups.
Yeah.
Every day. And he does that, and that's the total of what he does. And it's been like 2 weeks now. He's done it every single day. And he's like, Dad, look, I'm starting to see a little thing here. I go, dude, that's awesome. You feel good. First of all, we always promote health first. Number one, I'm just going to say that as a disclaimer, because people are like, it's not always about the body. We're always health conscious. That's the kids know that. And that's what we're trying to help them with. Right. So, but the feeling of working out and being proud of yourself after getting a workout done like you said, you don't know how it affected you getting up early, accomplishing something early, and how the rest of your day is.
Right.
Right. And yeah. I see this kid changing. Like I see him changing. Like yeah. he feels better about himself.
Yeah.
Well, then he does boxing now 2 times a week. And I see his confidence and self-esteem growing.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing thing to watch.
Yeah.
You know, and so anyway, I'm just trying to be a good dad.
Be yeah, better. No,
you know,
exactly.
And listen, I know we talk about this stuff a lot, and I don't want people to think, oh, all they do is talk about this and self-serving and whatever, but we're just trying to figure out life. Like we're just trying to figure out what works best for us. How yeah. do I be the best husband, father, person, man I can be? These are the things that I'm figuring out how to optimize on a high level all the time. Right. Yeah. And I think that's kind of everyone's journey, right? I mean, we're really here sure. to be the best person we can be, hopefully lift others up around us, serve others. We're truly here to serve people, be kind, compassionate, loving, and do all these things. And it's really difficult to figure out.
You know, one of our patrons sent us a quote today, which really resonated. Working for something you don't care about is called stress. Working for something you love is called passion. And
sure.
And, you know, obviously depending on what your situation is, you know, sometimes you don't necessarily have a job that you love, and that's circumstance, that's whatever. But like finding, luckily we can work for something that we're passionate about.
Sure.
And you know, if you don't have that, maybe you can find something that you are passionate about that you can work for, sure. whether it's for money or for not.
Right.
You know, but, correct. but that is a major difference. Like when you are working towards something that you are passionate about, it certainly feels you can bring yourself into it more and feel more gratitude and feel more confidence and feel more,
sure.
But yeah, if you're working for something that, boy, you just hate, that's tough.
No, it's tough. And I know people in those situations, and it's not a great situation to be in.
Well, yeah. You know? And also, you know, if you have responsibilities, you can't necessarily just make a,
sure.
make a, but I, you know, a 90
you can't
degree
make a
switch,
a rash decision, yeah. but I think there's ways to make a slower transition.
Oh, for sure.
For sure. Right. Like when we talk about your passion and even if you're at a job that, you know, you don't love, at least find a passion outside that job, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to say don't go to your job because you're not passionate about it, but you know, it's important to find that fire because people put that fire out just by doing mundane things and
right.
they don't really follow what they want to follow or do something to, you know, like, oh man, I've always wanted to skydive, or I wanted to do this. I want to go to the Grand Canyon. Then go.
Right.
Like,
right.
look, if we're being real, we have one life.
Yeah.
Like that's it. We don't
one life to live.
We don't get a second chance, man.
No,
this is it. This is it. Like get that bird's eye view and look at your life. Do you love, are you in love with it? If you're not, find something that you love to do, do something. You know, I think it's just so important because people get in this routine and go, oh, I'm stuck here. I can't change this. I can't do this. I can't, you know, and you can't.
Well, one of the things that I love that I've heard over the years is like something that you do love in your life, whether that's a person, whether that's a something that you do, a hobby, whatever it is,
yeah.
your spirituality, whatever that is, whatever, sure. something that you love that you can serve that and being a better parent, being a better partner, being,
sure.
You know, whatever that is, like that in itself is you can, that can be your passion, and you can always try to improve yourself in that way. Uh-huh. And that also is, so it doesn't, you know, it doesn't have to be tied to vocation is something.
No, it doesn't have to be.
Right. And that's,
no.
that's sometimes a nice thing to realize. It's like, not everybody lives to work. And not, you know, like it, so work can be what it is. And then life can be what it is, you know,
right.
There, it doesn't have to be all tied. If it is, awesome.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, I mean, look, we're doing what we love to do.
We're very lucky. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing to be able to do that. But there's plenty of people out there. I mean, I've had friends who just like, I'm done with this corporate job. I'm out.
Sure.
You know, they had money saved for a year and they're go, I'm going to go do something I love to do. I'm tired of this. So what happens? I mean, the human being is super powerful. Like,
yeah,
it's an amazing what we can accomplish. But we get, sometimes people get, me included, you get kind of beaten down and stuck in a certain mindset where it becomes, I can't do this, or I can't, or what would this person think, or what would that person think? Like, figure out, be you, like, figure that out. Like, who are you? Like, and that's what always this journey is. And that's why we always talk about starting the day out, you know, when the morning routine, master your morning, and starting from a grateful standpoint. And we talk about that. It puts me in the right, you know, state of mind where if these other things start coming in, I'm like, uh-oh, get them out of here. but yeah, it's like, I just want people to know that they can make changes, simple changes in their life to where they're like, wow, I didn't know I could feel this good about myself. Because I know there's this whole self-love thing, like the self-love movement, love yourself.
Oh yeah. Right?
So it's like, you really do. If you're really working on yourself to love yourself, you know, you have to be selfish in the beginning to be selfless.
Yeah.
Right. So if you're truly working on yourself to become better, then at some point you will be selfless, which is great, which is really, that's the goal. Right. So, you know, it's all a journey. And I just want people to know that it's never too late, like, to do anything. Like, it's never too late. Don't throw in the towel. I'm old. I'm this. I'm not. What? Stop.
Right.
Stop. You can do it. Like, it's there. Take it. Yours. One life. That's it.
One life to live.
Not one life to live.
No, these, not one life to live.
And these are the days of our lives.
These are the days of our lives.
So anyway, I know we talked a lot about that, but it, you know, it's just, we talk about what we're going through, man. You know?
Yeah. Well, and I've talked about this
for about 4-5 years now since I left GH and came back. Well, it's actually been longer now, but this whole, I left in what, 2012, and we're in 21. It's been a 9-year journey, of trying to figure this out and just be better and optimize myself and just, you know, be the man my wife wants and my kids want and that people want to be around, you know?
Yeah.
And that's,
yeah.
And it takes work, dude.
Sure does. Sure does.
You got things inside you that you're like, what is that? I don't know how to deal with that thing. What am I doing? You know? So it's like, it's always work.
That's right.
And we talk about this a lot and you know, you helped me navigate some of those things and you've helped me a lot with,
well, that's what I love about this, so much of the stuff we do, and obviously you guys probably realize this, is us getting to talk as friends. And, you know, it's a real delight for us because we're getting to know, you know, we know each other very well.
Yeah.
And yet every, you know, we get to know each other better and better because we have conversations like this.
Yeah. And,
and it's awesome.
It truly is a blessing for me. And the fact that we go through, you know, as friends, we go through so much together, you know, and we're always together on everything, the things that happen.
Yeah.
We usually could agree right away. You can make a decision without me. I can make a decision without you because, you know, we're aligned in what we do. And it's hard to find, man. So,
yeah. One quick question. I know, I mean, we're almost, but what's worse, being shot or stabbed? Because right now, Jason is both.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't know that, dude. I didn't know that. Shot some. I you know, this stuff was filmed, so I saw you, you know, injured in some way on set, and I was like, oh, I wonder what happened to him. And then I heard that you got stabbed in prison. I was like, oh, he got stabbed. And then I was like, and then I, you know, the stuff that aired, you know, you escaping out of the hospital with me and Brick and Carly helping you. You're welcome. And then
thank you.
Shots rang out. How is Jason? And
yeah,
what the thing that I didn't know was that Cameron Weber shot you. What the heck?
What? I know.
What
That's
the
crazy.
Heck?
That's crazy.
Why did Cameron Weber shoot you?
He's lost his mind right now. He's lost
his
mind.
Is he actually going through
I don't know. I don't. Well, you're shooting somebody, so.
Well, so I read the recap, and it's
I know.
Like,
that's my job, okay? That's my job.
Right.
That's my job. That's not his job.
Not his job.
To shoot me.
To shoot you.
Well, that's the thing is, this time.
I was trying to get the context of it. Is he mad at you because he thinks that you killed Franco?
Killed Franco, yes, correct.
Ah, okay. So that's the part that I forgot about, because it just said in the recap, you know, Cameron is hiding behind a dumpster. Somebody gets shot. A gun falls to him.
Yeah.
And he starts and he opens. And I was like, wait one second.
So that aired?
Yes.
Okay.
That was Monday.
That was Monday. Okay, great. So what's crazy about that scene is I didn't see Will Lipton that day at all.
Right. He wasn't there.
Right. So
right.
This is the Hollywood magic, right? Stephen A, we had to shoot those so far out of a sequence because of Stephen A is obviously a busy, busy man and he loves the show. And he's like, hey, I could do it, but I got to shoot. You know, I have, you know, he goes back and forth in New York, LA, everything. So, he's like, all right. So we shot it. Right. So, but we only shot one side of it, meaning all you saw was the limo and us running into the car or the Escalade, whatever it is, running in. And then you saw the other part. Which they filmed later and cut it together. So, I mean, I had that, you know, we just was good acting, I guess.
Right. Well, I mean, there's imminent danger. You can play the imminent danger. And I mean, knowing it's not like you're going to look back and be like, that kid shot me. Like, right. Cause you don't know. Yeah. Do you know, knowing what you filmed later,
dude,
would Jason have known in the moment that Cameron shot him?
I'm going to ask this question to the producers today.
Right. Cause that would be interesting knowledge.
Well, it is interesting knowledge just because I have some scenes coming up with it. So, yeah. I mean, that changes how you're going to play the scene.
I would guess.
Yeah. Hey, you shot me, you son of a. What are you doing? Get over here. I'm going to beat your ass.
Right.
You know, but it's so funny because I think the listeners and the GH fans would love to hear, you know, when there's a gunshot, obviously, we don't hear the gun shoot.
No.
So the stage managers, they have a block of wood, like a two by four that's probably 2 feet long.
Right.
And they slam it on the ground. That's our
gunshot. Which is concrete.
So it's pretty loud. So
or tile. Is it concrete? What is it? Is it concrete?
It's tile. It's a tile so the cameras can move
around. Yeah, but it's hard. So, it's
So it's super loud. So that's how then we can react to the gunshots that way too. So
but what's fun, and maybe we've said this before, during rehearsal, when you're because you know you have these cap guns that are loaded with so many flares, and you don't want to waste them, right? So during rehearsal to kind of get the choreography of what's going to happen down, they request that each actor, you know, who is handling a gun says bang.
Yeah.
When they are supposed to fire in the scene.
Yes.
And so that's funny. It's even funnier when like, because, I get it because when you're working with fake guns is not something that I feel terribly, you know, confident with.
Sure.
And so when your adrenaline is up and you've been told to say bang and nothing is happening with the gun, like in the cap is not very, you know, it's not very satisfying. Boy, is it easy to say bang. Cause you want to take an action. You want to do something.
Yeah. Yes.
And so bang is like, but when you say that and they're recording, it's not great.
No. Cause a lot of times now they have to remind us not to say it during tape.
Yeah.
Like, do not say bang during tape. It's not going to work. So
it would be kind of fun for you know, if like Anthony Zaccara said bang when he fired a gun, that would be funny.
That's character for sure. That's character. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm stabbed. I got stabbed and I got shot.
Yeah. So you have some recouping to do.
More to come.
More to come. And our our two esteemed head writers did a May Sweeps preview, and so they and you can find that I think on one of the soap sites, and so there's some things to look forward to. A few of the things that I'm digging, Carly, Ava, and Laura have teamed up, and boy, how fun is that?
Awesome,
right? Like having those three work together.
Oh, yeah, amazing.
Another pairing that I didn't know was happening.
Three bosses. Yeah. What?
Obrecht and Scott.
Huh?
Romance.
Huh?
Yep. Yep. What? Kin Schreiner. Yep.
What?
Yep. Scott and Obrecht.
Are you sure?
That's what I read. And I'm all here for it. Kathleen and Kin, come on. Let's go.
Okay. Let's go where? Let's go.
Let's go.
Isn't that a kind of a, that's like an unlikely pairing?
You would think. I mean, it made me think, are there other unlikely pairings that worked?
Mm. Oh, I'm sure there are, but I would have never even thought of putting those two together at all.
Right.
Like those, you know what I mean?
Gotta be fun though.
I don't know. Oh, she's awesome, dude. They're great. They'll be great together. They're both very funny. So you know you're going to be entertained.
Absolutely. Are you not entertained?
it'll be fun.
And this was going to be a recap relay, but we don't have time for it. So I read a recap and it just made me laugh. So Cyrus was at Ava's house and Laura was there, and Laura kind of got into him and like made him feel bad about himself.
Mm.
And so like Cyrus, like a hurt Cyrus left, and Martin followed as Cyrus was his ride.
I guess there's no Uber in Port Charles.
I just imagine like Martin slinking out. Oh, Laura, why'd you get all Cyrus all huffed up? You know he's my ride.
Totally. That is amazing, dude. That would have been a great recap relay, but that's funny though. Funny, man.
Well, friends, thanks for sticking with us. Thanks for
thanks, guys.
Thanks for fun, being the fly on the wall while we conversate. We certainly appreciate you. You can experience the fruitions of our labor later this month as we go back out on tour.
Sure.
Baltimore, Raleigh, West Palm Beach, Tampa, Orlando, Birmingham, Huntsville, Nashville. We are very excited. Thank you for letting us just talk about that process. We hope you find it interesting. If not, at least enjoy the fruition at the end. So go to stonecoldandthejackal.com for all tour information, tickets, etc. As always, we appreciate you. Thank you to Magic Spoon. Thank you to all of you. And we'll be talking to you next week.
Have a great rest of your week.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. Well, you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy.
It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. So go to Geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit Geico.com today. That's Geico.com.
Get ready. Coming to Podcast One, it's the Kelly Osbourne and Jeff Beecher Show.
Oh, my God. Do you remember opening night when Mick Jagger crawled out on his hands and knees because someone turned on the smoke machine and that was broken and the whole club almost got evacuated?
Look at your accent. You're like, oh, no, Mick Jagger.
Continuing the Osbourne tradition, host Kelly Osbourne.
There are days where I wake up and I think that I'm wonderful and I love myself.
Bringing a fresh dose of truth.
And there are days that you wake up and you feel like you're not good enough to even walk out of the door.
Joins best friend and Beecher's Madhouse creator, Jeff Beecher.
For everyone that listens, you're never stopping fixing your head. It's a constant work. It's just like exercising.
In a raw, real, and crazy, unforgettable podcast.
The whole thing for me with this was, you're so right, Jeff, was like we had to fix our heads because we were both fucking insane.
Timmy was a hoarder. Do you know about this, Donnie?
Yeah, I heard the story.
They let him live in the Hard Rock, and he wouldn't stop eating off the room service plates outside the people's table.
Oh, my God, that's
Subscribe and download on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.